Harper Business and Harper Audio present The Infinite Machine, How an Army of Crypto Hackers is Building the Next Internet with Ethereum, by Camilla Russo. Read by Laura Jennings. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Arthur C. Clarke. A note to my readers. I don't consider myself a computer geek. I don't spend hours on end hacking away on my laptop. I'm also not into financial speculation. Watching it from a distance and writing about it, I love. Putting my money and my stomach through nauseating ups and downs, not so much. So why spend years devoted to cryptocurrencies? The answer is at least slightly different for everyone I've asked this question to. For me, it's about freedom. If you push me a little, I might even say it's about revolution. The first time I learned about Bitcoin was in 2013. I was living in Buenos Aires, reporting on the Argentine market for Bloomberg News. But I was more than reporting about it, I was also living it. As I wrote about double-digit inflation, the pesos I earned for those stories quickly depreciated. I started exchanging my salary to dollars as soon as I got it. Until one day, the president woke up and said, "Nope, you can't do that anymore." Could it be possible that the government was able to ban the purchase of the U.S. currency? Something I'd been able to do with a click on my bank's website? I went to check, and sure enough, the option to exchange pesos from my local currency account into dollars to deposit in my foreign currency account was nowhere to be found. One day it was there, the next day it was gone. The government was depreciating its currency with populist policies, and now it wasn't even going to let me protect my own savings against its economic mismanagement. This was perfectly legal. It was the government doing it. Who could I turn to? Around that time, a colleague in another office told me about some weird digital currency called Bitcoin, which Argentines were using to get around this problem. I decided to write about it. The people I talked with for my article had been living with some form of inflation and/or currency controls all their lives, and so had their parents. They understood right away how significant it was to be able to buy a currency that's not controlled by anyone and, therefore, can't be stopped or seized. Its issuance rate was dictated by algorithms and computer code, not by the whims of politicians and central bankers. I thought this innovation was incredibly powerful and continued to watch Bitcoin and the growing cryptocurrency market until, in 2017, I got a chance to write about it again. By this time, I was based in New York, still reporting on markets with Bloomberg News, and noticed that crypto was heating up. I started covering this strange market, at first sporadically, but as prices kept climbing and more tokens kept getting issued, and crypto startups were raising millions in seconds, and everyone from celebrities to fund managers to CEOs was talking about it, it was soon consuming most of my time. By the end of the year, it was clear we were witnessing a full-blown bubble, one of the most fantastic speculative manias the world had ever seen, and I had been privileged to cover it at one of the most respected financial media organizations. At the end of 2017, when I took stock of what I had just witnessed in crypto, I thought, this needs to be permanently documented. From an early age, my dream had been to write about the real world with the drama and excitement found in fiction. I set out to find the best story to tell in crypto. I found that, while some great books of the kind I wanted to write had been written about Bitcoin, there was no history of Ethereum, the second biggest chain, which had fueled much of the craziness of the past year. More important, Ethereum was unique in that it tried to take blockchain technology, underlying Bitcoin, even further than what the original cryptocurrency had. Bitcoin wanted to be peer-to-peer money. Ethereum wanted to be peer-to-peer everything. It wanted to be the world computer behind a more decentralized, freer world. Even if it failed in its ambition, the innovation in itself and the frenzy it caused were bookworthy. That's how I set out to write the first book on the history of Ethereum. To write it, I started with interviews with a small founding group of this network, the original co-founders. Although
Sample complete. Ready to continue?